Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Few federal government agencies touch the lives of as many people as the U.S. Social Security Administration. Administering one of the nation's largest entitlement programs, SSA provides services to individuals at critical juncture in their lives, be it in the onset of a disability, the loss of a spouse or parent, or the inability to meet basic needs as a senior or retiree. SSA has taken on even more responsibility recently, administering the Medicare Part D prescription drug plan. It is clear that SSA is undergoing profound and dynamic changes in workload in mission-critical areas. From eliminating claims backlogs to modernizing its infrastructure, SSA has sought to ensure that it continues to meet its mission while ensuring it provides services timely, effectively, and efficiently. With us this morning to discuss efforts in this area is our very special guest, Michael Astrew, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Nicole Gardner, IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice Leader. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, Michael.
Michael, I always like to ground our listeners with some context around the broader organization. So can you start off by providing us a general overview of the Social Security Administration, including its history, its programs, and its current mission today?
Sure. We started in 1935 in the Social Security Act, important New Deal program. Originally, we were just retirement, but the notion of what Social Security is has expanded greatly over time. So we moved into the disability area in the 1950s. We went into a disability welfare program in the 1970s. And in recent decades, the scope of responsibilities largely in support of other agencies has expanded enormously. So for instance, as you mentioned, we have a number of Medicare responsibilities. We have immigration-related responsibilities. We even have duties in voter registration and areas like that. Pretty much two or three times a year lately, Congress adds new statutory responsibilities. We had a piece of the stimulus bill, for instance, this year too.
So to get into some more specifics, can you give us a better sense of the size and scale of SSA? So how is it organized, the size of your overall budget, the number of employees and contractors, and perhaps a sense of your geographic footprint?
It's a staggeringly large agency, and it really is because we are the face of the federal government for most of the American public. So we have an administrative budget of just over $10 billion. We have about 12,000 employees in the Baltimore area where our headquarters is. We have about 50,000 employees out in the field. Although we're organized into 10 regions, most of the employees are in fairly small local offices. So we have about 1,260 field offices. We have about 140 hearing offices. And then we have a number of teleservice centers and processing centers and other support operations. Adds up to about 1,500 facilities. So it's an extremely large organization.
Michael, now that you've provided us with a sense of the large organization that SSA is, can you tell us a little bit more about your specific role as commissioner, which is not a traditional political appointment, what your specific responsibilities are, how your appointment works, and the length of time that you have?
For most of the agency's history, the commissioner was within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services or its predecessor agencies. And that was a matter of congressional debate for about 15 years. In the mid-90s, Congress finally passed what we call the independent agency statute. So Social Security was taken out of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And the commissioner now reports directly to the President of the United States. What they also did in the statute is they phased in a six-year term appointment. The first commissioner to have a six-year term appointment was my predecessor, Joanne Barnhart. All of her term was within President Bush's administration. I was confirmed last year, and I have a term that goes into 2013, so I'll be the first commissioner that straddles into another administration. So I know a lot of agency heads are leaving, but I'm staying and looking forward to making a lot of progress in the next 4 years.
Well, we'll look forward to being with you during that time. So regarding your responsibilities, since you've been there a year, what do you see as the three most significant challenges that you face in your tenure, and what are you doing to address those challenges?
One of the things that's changed in the job is largely informal. By agreement between the Congress and the President, a lot of the things that relate to solvency have been moved over to Treasury. So my role is really more operational. We're focused primarily on three things. One is to be an advocate for the agency. We've been seriously underfunded for most of the last 20 years. And it didn't matter who controlled the Congress or who controlled the White House. It was a consistent pattern that generally we got budget requests that were at or a little bit below inflation, and then we got substantially less. And that's really inflicted some wear and tear on the agency. Last year, we not only got the President's budget, but a little bit more. That's been an enormous help this year. So we have been big advocates for the agency. Programmatically, far and away, our most important effort has been to try to reduce the disability backlog. We not only had an enormous number of people waiting for hearings, but some of those people had been waiting as long as 4 years. And it's been difficult in a time of contracting resources to try to turn that runaway train around. But we've been making good progress. We're not quite where I would like to be yet, but the trends are all in the right direction, and we're making real progress there. Finally, as the third area is, as the baby boomers have aged, they not only are starting to retire, and we had our first baby boomer retire and file online, but we also are entering the disability-prone years. People sometimes forget that as the boomers become 50, 55, 60, they're much more likely to file for disability, and the number of our disability claims is going up. It's huge already. We're going to take in about 2.6 million disability claims this year.
Now, I understand, Michael, that you've held some other roles over at SSA, but I also understand that you were also a senior executive in a biotech company. Could you tell us a little bit more about your career path? What brought you over to SSA, and how did you begin your career?
When I was in college, most of my classmates had career plans. And I set out sort of simplistically just to have an interesting and valuable life and just not worry about where it took me. So initially, it took me here in Washington, and I worked for a couple years in the Senate for some nonprofit agencies. Went back to law school, worked briefly in the private sector, and then came back into government at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And I worked there for most of the next 8 years. I also had a short stint over at the White House. And then when that was over, I went into biotech, and I got a lot of the same satisfaction being in biotechnology that I did from public service. My companies were fairly small, generally working at devastating diseases that the big companies had overlooked. So I really felt every day that I was doing something special and important. So I did that for about 14 years. But then when the opportunity came around to basically come back home to Social Security, I found that pretty irresistible.
So as you reflect on these experiences, how have they prepared you for your current leadership role and perhaps shaped your management approach and your style today?
I spent about half the time in the private sector, half the time in the public sector. So I actually have I've had some great training under some very good operational managers, most of them in the private sector, but also Dorcas Hardy, who I worked for when she was Commissioner of Social Security, was a superb operational manager. So I've learned a lot from those people. But I've also learned the political skills, realized that every time you make an operational decision of any significance, it has a political dimension, and you have to think through how to deal with the Congress, how to deal with the Office of Management and Budget, how to deal with the other stakeholders in the process, and how to persuade them that what you feel that you need to do is what's going to be done. So I think having both skill sets, having learned a lot in the private sector, but also really having grown up in government, I think it's a useful combination for me, staying up on the cutting edge of medicine. And that's really important for us because we have to define who's disabled and who's not. And we had let our standards get, in some cases, decades old. This is something that I'm very intense about. And we're on a schedule now where all the medical regulations will be updated every 5 years. We're trying to get to every 3 years. We're not just sort of improving the status quo. Historically, there's been a tendency to not give that detail unless it was a fairly common disease or condition. And I think that meant that an awful lot of diseases or conditions where we practically could have given guidance, were taking longer. We were making mistakes. So we're focusing a lot more on the rare diseases and conditions, the rare forms of cancers and things like that, and trying to give a lot more guidance to the field, and also to try to design systems so that when these unusual conditions come up, the examiner is automatically cued as to what they should be looking for, what the disease is, what the standards are, that type of thing. And that's coming around. I think we've made some great progress just in a year and a half, and I think we'll make a lot more progress in the next 2 years.
What are the strategic priorities for the Social Security Administration? We will ask Michael Astru, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.